afternoon, and we want to welcome our listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by SimTrainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L in the Range. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914. And we'd be more than glad to assist you in any training issues you have, purchasing a firearm, whatever the case might be. Again, the number there is 937-293-3914. We have an action-packed, information-packed show ready for you today. And if you'd like to get on the show today, I want to remind you to call us at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'll go ahead and get you in the queue. Just to kind of give you an idea, in the second half hour, we're going to be introducing you to a young lady by the name of Alyssa Campbell, who is the Ohio delegate to the NRA's Yes Youth Education Summit, who's going to be talking to you about some of her experiences in visiting D.C. and some of the issues that were raised as a result of her quest to get involved with the Yes program and to advance its various ideas back here in the Ohio area after she came back. But before we go on to her in the second hour, I know that second part of the hour, I want to remind our listeners that there was an important legislative issue that took place this past week, and that's that the Senate Bill 17 passed the Senate by a pretty significant 25-7 margin, and is moving forward pretty well. It apparently is met with a little bit of opposition in the House at the present time, and from what we've been able to tell, we feel that Mark and I have done some research in the last couple days that's mainly due to some of the opposition being expressed by the Ohio Restaurant Association, which apparently has voiced its discontent or lack of support for the bill. I took the initiative yesterday and got a hold of the Director of Government Affairs at the Ohio Restaurant Association, Mr. Richard Mason, and invited him to come on to the show, but he said that he'd have to have a little bit more time to gather his thoughts, and he didn't feel comfortable doing that. But he did, however, forward to us a letter, which I'm just going to briefly go through to put the Ohio Restaurant Association stance forward. And he says, basically, our board of directors understands and appreciates the arguments for and against this legislation. However, just as we did in the last General Assembly, we support preserving the current law because no conclusive evidence has been presented that the statute is not working. We simply feel that alcohol and guns are not a good mix, and we encourage you to vote against this and any proposal that would allow guns in restaurants with liquor permits. Food service industry is the third largest private sector employer in Ohio with over 532,000 great employees. Its 21,000 locations have annual sales of $17 billion, generating more than $500 million in state revenue tax. That was a letter that he sent to Representative Bob Mecklenburg, the chairman of the House State Government and Elections Committee, earlier in the week, basically setting forth the Ohio Restaurant Association's standpoint on the issue. And I happened to have a brief conversation with him on the phone, and I again encouraged him to come on the air and to share with our listeners their stance, because we want to certainly get everybody's opinion out there. But during the course of the brief conversation I had with him, I happened to just ask him upon which they're basing their opinions, and he happened to mention to me that most of their, or at least a significant amount of their information, was based on what he initially described, a young lady who spent a whole lot of time and effort gathering what he considered to be pretty substantial data, and that was Toby Hoover from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. And when I asked him to kind of state where his stance is, what is based on specifically, he just kind of, he didn't want to make a comment at the particular time, and he just encouraged me as a law enforcement officer to give some thought to what's going on with the Ohio Chiefs of Police Association and the FOP. And I tried to tell him we'd like him to come on the radio show to voice his opinion, but he was reluctant to do so. But I did tell him that I would advance that position letter, or whatever you want to call it, that the Ohio Restaurant Association delivered to the listening audience. And I want to follow up to that and just mention that although they mentioned that 532,000 great employees and 21,000 locations, it's my personal opinion that they're not really given consideration to the tens of thousands of concealed holder licensees out there who see this as a significant step, see the passage of Senate Bill 17 as a significant step in the right direction, and they have plenty of discretionary funds that they would likely spend at these restaurants, and I think there's going to be some fallout. I'm not sure of that, But I think in the short term and the long term, there may be some fallout when people find out that the Ohio Restaurant Association is not in support of Senate Bill 17, even though, and this is the critical point, and I think it's been mentioned many, many times before, there is absolutely no evidence to the contrary, no evidence at all that says that people, law-abiding citizens who carry guns in establishments that may or may not serve alcoholic beverages pose any more of a risk than anybody else. And we still forget that it's the bad guys who don't pay attention to the laws who were going to make it bad anyway and cause problems in these establishments. I know that there was a recent incident in North Dayton. Senate Bill 17 had not even, I don't think it had even been reintroduced. And there was a shooting at a bar where obviously everybody in the bar was violating the law. And a couple of people in the bar had guns. And there was a shooting in a case where bad guys broke the law. So yet again, misinformation and non-information is guiding people's opinions. And I just would, I would welcome the opportunity for a representative from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence or from the Ohio Restaurant Association to come on the show or call on the show and try to support their stance. We'll give them a free microphone and let them talk all they want just so they back what they say. And again, the invitation is still out there for anybody that would want to call in. And if our listeners have any opinions either way, I want to encourage you to call us at 457-1290, because I know this is an issue that many of you are following very closely. And I'm going to let Mark talk just for a couple minutes, because I know he has a little bit to say about it.
Oh, that could be that could be the case. The Ohio Restaurant Association is not totally unlike what you find, Jeff, in the Fraternal Order of Police and the Chiefs Association, and they have a position that doesn't necessarily reflect the rank and file members. And I personally, I would love to see restaurant owners put up signs that say that they support HB 45 restaurant carry, that the position taken by the Restaurant Association is not something that they agree with, and that when concealed carry is available for people who are going into restaurants that serve alcohol, that they will absolutely support that. I think that that's a, you know, that's a good way to get the word out to folks. When you have a restaurant owner that disagrees with what the politicians in their organization are telling the politicians in the House, and that's where this is currently stalled, because the Senate passed the bill this last week. And as Jeff mentioned, it was passed by a significant margin. 25-7 is a huge margin. In fact, the Restoration of Rights bill also passed this last week, and that was 27-5. So there was even more folks that are supporting that. These bills, there's no reason at all why they shouldn't be passed. They would have been passed in the last session of the House, back before we had a Republican majority. And the reason it didn't pass is because it wouldn't be allowed to be voted on by the Speaker of the House. We don't have that problem anymore. They're trying to get this up. And because it's not currently, you know, there's some pushback. They're trying to count the votes and they're saying, oh, well, maybe we might not make it. And they don't want to bring it up if they're not sure that it's going to actually pass. And I can understand that. And they don't want to have a vote and have it lose and then have to come back and do this whole thing over again. But that's probably not going to happen. And we just need to have our legislators stand up and be counted. We need everybody who's listening to the show and everybody across the state who owns guns and understands these issues from a logical perspective, not an emotional perspective, to let their legislators know that you support this bill and that you want them to vote for it as soon as you can.
And I think that's a very important point. Since the evolution of this, the concealed carry law in 2004 through its first two amendments in 2006 and 2008, and now on into 2011, where this major legislative initiative is likely to have a significant impact. You, the listeners, and you, the supporters of gun rights in the state of Ohio and in the United States, and the Second Amendment supporters, you're the ones that make a difference. And I want to encourage you to continue your efforts. It's worked throughout. It worked in the last election, which we said was going to have, there was going to be fallout, and it sure as heck did. And this is going to be, there's people who need to know how you feel, and be sure to get a hold of your representatives and let them know how strongly you feel about this, and give them the reasoning that is based simply on, it's backed by the data. And I wanted to bring that issue up. One of the congressmen, Mark, what was his name? The gentleman who talked about trust.
Grindel.
Yeah.
Senator Grindel.
Senator Grindel, when he got up and spoke in favor of Senate Bill 17, he said simply, people, this is a walk of trust. And he said, we got to trust the law-abiding citizens in this state to do the right things. As the law-abiding citizens in adjacent states and throughout the 42 other states that have various versions of concealed carry authorizing carry in such such entities, they've not had any problems. So we just have to rely on that trust and the results that there hasn't been significant negative incidents occurring.
Let me recommend that folks go out to our website at sim-trainer.com/radio and click on the link for HB45 and also HB54, but especially HB45, the restaurant carry bill, which also changes the way that licensed concealed handgun folks can carry in your car as well. It makes those two major changes to the Ohio concealed carry law. Go out to that link and find out if your representative has signed on as a co-sponsor of that legislation. And if not, contact them and contact them politely, but with resolve, and let them know just how strongly you support getting this fixed so that you're no longer having to leave your firearm unattended in a motor vehicle when you go into a restaurant, that although you may not be able to consume liquor according to the way the law is written when you're in there, that's a sacrifice that I don't like it, but I'd be willing to make that sacrifice. I'm not a big drinker anyway. So if it means I can go into a restaurant and I can be the designated driver, and I also then, not the designated shooter, as the folks on the other side of the fence say, but I am not having to get undressed in the car and leave my gun in the car in order to go into the restaurant. And then, oh, by the way, even after I've had maybe a beer, I'm still not intoxicated. I'm certainly fully in control of my senses and my judgment. And then I can leave and put my gun back on and drive home. Why is it that I can't go into the restaurant and not consume, and suddenly I'm much more dangerous as a result of being there? So contact your state representative. Let them know in no uncertain terms that you absolutely support this bill and you want them to vote for HB 45. Get it out on get it voted, and let the speaker know that they support that, so that the speaker will bring this up and get it voted and passed. We have some callers on the phone, and let's turn out to the telephone and talk to Dave, who's calling from Dayton. Dave, you got a good question for us.
I've been shooting with my son for a number of years, and we go out to a quarry, and he's 20 years old now, and I'm wondering, when we take our pistols out, is he allowed to have a pistol in a holster carry it that way while we're walking to the quarry and while we're at the quarry?
Well, let me first of all answer this, Dave, that you're out there for recreational shooting, correct?
Yes.
And you're his father and you're supervising his activities. I think the letter of the law clearly makes it possible for that to occur. The issue, I think, is going to come about as to how far, believe it or not, this is how they split hairs, how far the quarry is from where you park your car and the distance he has to travel. That's not written in the law. That's going to be an individual interpretation that somebody will make. I would say the safest way, though, for you, the adult, the person over 21 years of age to do that, would be to go ahead and you carry it up to the location where they're going to, where you're going to engage in the recreational shooting. Let him do the shooting under your supervision. As ridiculous as that seems, he's an adult in and of himself, but the way the law is set up now, it's 21 years of age for a handgun. And then when he's finished, have him unload it, and then you carry it back to the car. That's the safest way. Now, I would hope that rational, reasonable decision-making would prevail if a law enforcement officer happened upon you in this quarry. Again, assuming you're allowed to be shooting there in the first place.
We need to take a break, and so we'll take a break. We'll be back here in a few minutes. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery. And right before the break, Dave asked a question about transporting a firearm, a handgun, particularly from a vehicle to a quarry where he's shot. And there's two issues I just want to make sure that we're clear on. Assuming that where he's shooting, he legally can be shooting, it's outside a residential area in a township or out in a rural area, and there's no other restrictions, then that's one thing, because that just draws unnecessary law enforcement attention if in case it's a place that prohibits that kind of activity. So we're making an assumption that it's legitimate for him to be here. The second issue, it's unfortunate, but even though his son is an adult, he's over 18, the Ohio law specifies that unless you're 21 years of or older, you cannot own a firearm unless it's in the course of training, recreational shooting, and or their supervision of an instructor and or another adult in that capacity. So in his case, we're just giving him advice that it would be best practice for the adult, the father, to transport the gun from the car to the location where they're shooting, and then when they're finished, transport it back to the car in the proper manner, depending on the circumstances. So I just wanted to clarify that particular issue. And let's go right out to the phones. We have Kim in Wilmington who has a question about House Bill 44. Kim, are you with us?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a question so much as just a few comments.
Okay.
I was not aware that ORA had gotten their information from Toby Hoover. Somehow or another, that doesn't surprise me. But I have to give Toby Hoover credit because she probably initiated the contact, and shame on us for not beating her to the punch on that.
Good point.
You know, Toby Hoover does, in fact, draw a salary for what she does. Your Buckeye Firearms Alliance, Ohioans for Concealed Carry, both of those are entirely all-volunteer organizations, and they have a wealth of information on this topic, and, in fact, both were instrumental in getting the legislation drafted. But who do they go to? They go to Toby Hoover.
Right, because it more or less, in my estimation, it more or less represented their particular slant on the issue to begin with. Matter of fact, his exact words to me that he received most of his data from a very well-informed individual from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. When I said Toby Hoover, he said, exactly, that's the lady. Yeah. And then when I challenged him on some of her assertions, he wouldn't go there, and he said he needed time to gather his thoughts, which tells me, and I apologize if I'm mistaken, Mr. Mason, I encourage you to call the show and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he had a personal stance. He was relying on information from what he considered to be a viable entity. And I'm not going to pass a judgment as to their viability per se, but I certainly welcome anybody that's in affiliated with the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence to call the show and let you, the listeners, make a decision based on informed information dissemination that is backed by data. And I think that's one of the reasons they refrain. And one other point I want to make, I've made numerous attempts to contact that organization, and I get an answering machine that wraps around to voicemail most of the time, and I've not had any calls returned, and no one's volunteered to come onto the show or to call from the distance. So I just wonder why that is the case.
We are going to have to take a break here in just a few more seconds, so I'm not going to try to get another call up on the air. We'll talk to Jim when we get back. We will be with Alyssa Campbell, though, when we get back from the news break at the bottom of the hour. Let's go over there to the WHIO News Center with Charles Van Sant and find out what's going on in the world. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
This is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
America, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we have a very special guest in the radio station today, and it's Miss Alyssa Campbell. Alyssa is a junior at Troy Christian, and she is one of two Ohio delegates to the NRA's Youth Education Summit. Alyssa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And Alyssa, why don't you tell the listeners out there a little bit about what the NRA Youth Education Summit, the YES program, is all about.
The Youth Education Summit is a full expense paid week to Washington, D.C., where we learn about how our government works. We learn about our Second Amendment, about the NRA, and it is encouraging leadership in America's youth.
Alyssa, you told us in this process you were involved in basically three stages, and the first stage was where you had to write an essay. And why don't you tell the audience a little bit about what you wrote about and why you chose your topic?
My topic was comparing and contrasting the different concealed carry laws between Illinois and Ohio. My family originally comes from Illinois, and we had an incident there where if the concealed carry would have been permitted, the situation would have turned out completely differently. So in my paper, I introduced the topic where someone that I knew had been attacked, and then I contrasted it between if it had taken place in Ohio and a concealed carry would have been allowed versus in Illinois where it hadn't been allowed.
And as we mentioned on last week's show, Illinois is one of the more restrictive states in the union as far as concealed carry goes. However, there was a pretty significant state Supreme Court decision handed down in the last month that could have a far-reaching effect in the opposite direction, help move Illinois back to where they need to be. Stage two of the process you mentioned was you actually got to go to Washington, D.C., where you got to schmooze with some congressmen. You got to meet the president of the NRA, Wayne LaPierre, and then you got to compete, or you competed in a series of speeches and debates. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It was a full expense paid week to Washington, like I had mentioned earlier, and we were competing on intellectual concepts that we had taken throughout. We debated on topics such as border control in Mexico, their current up-to-date topics, making sure that we stay involved with what's going on in our country. That's extremely important.
So it's not just Second Amendment issues?
No, they want to make sure that we are well-rounded students and that we understand completely what our nation is going through.
Great.
And you mentioned on one of them, you had to spontaneously give a speech while you were standing backwards in a bus that was driving down the road. Tell us about that experience.
Yes, I did. We had just gotten back from coming from the Korean Memorial, and we were called to give our speeches. So I walked to the front of the bus. I was standing facing the people in the bus going backwards in the middle of the night, going down the highway, speaking about the impacts of social networking on today's youth.
And was that a little bit distracting while the bus was going one direction, you're looking the opposite, or were you so focused on your topic that it wasn't a big deal?
It actually wasn't a big deal. I enjoy speaking in front of people, so it was actually pretty enjoyable. I figured I had a once-in-a-lifetime chance to speak on a bus heading backwards, so I decided to go for it.
Well, it's very obvious you enjoy speaking in front of people, and it's obvious you enjoy speaking when people are on the other side of the microphone. They can't see you, but they certainly can hear you. You're doing a wonderful job, and I want to get to the third part of this process because I found some things you said quite interesting. You said the third phase of this was you had to take some of what you learned in Washington, D.C. and bring it back home to the Dayton metro area and put it into practice. And you mentioned to us that you decided you were going to try to do some firearms education. Why don't you tell us about that and some of your experiences there?
One of the main organizations or events, I guess, that had been stressed when I was at the Youth Education Summit was the Eddie Eagle program. I am a very big believer in people having knowledge so that they are safe. So I decided to try to bring Eddie Eagle back to Ohio.
Tell folks a little bit about what Eagle is.
Eddie Eagle, it is a safety program for students, grades 3 and under. It is a safety program. It's not promoting guns at all, but it is simply a topic that says stop, don't touch, leave the area, and tell an adult when you come across an unattended weapon.
Kids have been taught since before I was a kid, what do you do if your clothes get caught on fire? And everybody knows. Let's say it together. Stop, drop, and roll. Okay? Everybody knows what that is. But there's too many people who have never even heard what a kid should do when you come across a firearm. Stop, don't touch, leave the area, and tell an adult. And that's really all this program is about. And so what happened when you tried to take that into the schools?
I had tried to take it into school systems around where I had lived, and I was rejected because the topic was too risky. They didn't want to get the parents involved.
Oh, it's guns! It's guns!
We're not going to name the school district or the individual involved, but a principal actually told her the topic was too risky and encouraged her to keep it in her own jurisdiction and don't reach out to the area she was reaching. Which, by the way, I just want to reiterate, I ran into a similar experience where our First Shots program, which again is an education program and a very positive experience for people to get involved in the shooting sports, I offered to give a significant donation, half of all the proceeds, back to the parent group that sponsored the program. And the athletic director at the school where I said also it's too controversial a topic and we don't want to get involved in that as a fundraiser, which again I think in education, both what Alyssa experienced and what I experienced, it's contradictory to their mission. Alyssa brought up a good point with knowledge equals safety, and
absolutely,
in both cases they decided that they weren't going to give any credence to a very viable topic, whether it was Eddie Eagle or the National Shooting Sports Foundation.
They're just too scared of the knowledge to be safe.
She then presented it to a second person who was a guidance counselor. And what was that person's response?
I had actually gotten to the point where I had all the paperwork filled out. I had given it to the principal and the guidance counselor, and it had gone all the way through. We were to the point of setting up the dates, putting the paperwork together, and the principal said no, that it was too risky, and again, I was turned down.
Wow. Alyssa, tell us, I'm going to put you on the spot here, from a youth's perspective.
I just have an idea before we go there.
Go ahead.
If there's any school folks out there that are listening to this show and they would like to have Eddie Eagle be taught in their school system, send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com. We would love to be the source or the kind of the funnel to get that information back to Alicia so that she can get these programs in place and start teaching kids what they should do to prevent them from doing things. We've had, just a couple of years ago, we had two kids in the period of a week that shot themselves with a gun that they found in their own home because they did not know what they were supposed to do when they came across a gun in an unsupervised environment. And that's what this program's about. Okay, I'll go off my soft.
Very good point. And I want to encourage people to take us up on that because we promote gun safety, and that's one of the best ways to do it. Alyssa, from a young person's perspective, what do you see your role or how you're perceived as a young person involved in the shooting sports or wanting to get involved in the shooting sports?
It completely depends on which aspect you're coming from. If you are coming from people who are supportive of the NRA, you are well received because they understand you're passing that knowledge on to the next generation that will lead. But if you are speaking with populations or people who don't agree with what you're talking about, then they don't want to hear what you have to say.
No, because you'll be passing that heritage on to the next generation.
Well, and along those lines, when you say they don't want to hear what you have to say, do they offer you or have you experienced an explanation as to why? Do they say this is why? Because guns are bad? Or what do they say, if anything, when they reject you?
They say that passing that knowledge on or even discussing the topic would be too much, that it's too risky to promote that topic because they're afraid of how the parents will react.
You know, and getting back to what Mark said earlier, yet, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll spend a lot of time and effort teaching people where to go on fire drills, but we don't do a whole lot on something that's really a little bit more practical. I think the statistics recently is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, I don't think it's been since the late 50s, early 60s that we've had a kid killed in a school fire. And yet we continue, as we should, to have those fire drills and make sure everybody knows the protocols. But on an annual basis, not only purposefully, but in, more importantly, I guess, unfortunately, and there's accidental shootings of children who haven't had this education. And it's a naive lack of knowledge that contributes to the ongoing problem. Melissa, do you want to comment on that? Or
that's completely true. You can't act on something that you're never taught.
Alyssa, you also mentioned you and your family participate. And by the way, to the listeners out there, Alyssa's here with her mother and her father. You mentioned that you have, on a monthly basis, one Sunday a month where you have Conservative Sunday. Tell us a little bit about Conservative Sunday.
Conservative Sundays, it is the best weekend of the month. Pretty much what happens is we go to church, have good family time. We go out to eat with friends and family, and then we spend the rest of the day at the range and armory.
Wow. Amen. That's a good way to go.
That's an awesome, awesome afternoon.
I exercise both the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. Just spend all day constitutional.
I'm sure our listeners out there have gotten a little bit of perspective about what this young lady's all about and the intelligence level she has and the commitment she has to advancing the Second Amendment and its related issues. And I want to offer or extend a challenge. Sim Trainer's going to donate up to $250 in matching money to anybody that wants to make a contribution on Alyssa's behalf. We're going to make it nice and easy. You can either call the range and pledge the money and drop it off later on, or you can stop by the range anytime this next week and tell them you would like to make a contribution to Alyssa Campbell Scholarship Fund, which we're going to kind of informally establish at the range. And Sim Trainer will match the first $250 of that to kind of get things going, because I think it's very, 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 very important for us to continue to advance the shooting sports through introducing youth. And we're going to also we're going to kind of form a little reciprocal relationship with Alyssa, and we're going to have her in to do some programming with us. And at the same time, we're going to extend some programming to her and her family and maybe some of her friends, because it's just another great opportunity for us to advance the shooting sports and to do something positive in the right direction, purporting the truth and doing a lot of good things.
Alyssa, thanks so much for being on the show today. And if anybody has any information, if they would like to find out more about the Youth Education Summit, they can go to our website at sim-trainer.com, and there is already a link on the show notes for today. Obviously, we don't have the show up there yet, but there's a link to the Youth Education Summit information page, and you can find information about what the program is about. You can find information about how to apply. It's open to application for sophomores and juniors in high school. Isn't that correct, Alyssa?
Yes, it is.
Okay, sophomores and juniors then can make application, and then you would go in the summer following that year to the event in in Washington, D.C. So, again, thanks so much for being on the show. It's just really exciting to have you with us. If you've got other information that you'd like to find out about and it's not answered on the website, send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com, and we will try to get those questions answered and get information back to you as well. We're going to need to take our last break of the hour here in just a few seconds, so let me encourage you to give us a call at 457-1290. When we come back, we'll talk to Bob in Vandalia, who has a question or has a comment, and I would like to encourage you to call as well, 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in with Jeff Pedro and Alyssa Campbell for Shooting from the Hip. Let's go right back out to the phones and talk to Bob in Vandalia. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, I was understanding in the last couple of days in the House of the State, a couple gun laws passed the House, but I can't remember exactly what numbers they were.
Okay, there were two bills. Sure, there were two bills that passed in the Senate. They have not yet passed the House. They are Senate Bill 17, which is the restaurant and car carry rules fix, and Senate Bill 61, which is the restoration of rights bill, which would change the way that when people in Ohio have their rights restored, they're not currently being recognized by the federal government because our standards varied slightly, and the federal government wouldn't recognize that rights restoration. So those two bills have passed in the Senate, and they need still to be passed in the House. There are House versions of both of those bills. They were on a parallel track. So the bills were being addressed by both chambers of the Ohio legislature at the same time. The House bills still need to be addressed. They have been through committee. They have been voted out onto the floor, but they need to be voted on and brought up for that in the House as soon as possible, in my opinion.
So hopefully they'll be getting something will be done with them here in the near future then.
That is certainly our hope. That is absolutely what we're encouraging people to contact their legislators and let them know that that's what we believe and that's what we want them to do as well. Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out to Lament in Dayton, and welcome to the show.
Yes, I have an old felony from when I was 20 years old, and now I'm married and have a steady job and everything, and I was wondering, is it impossible for me to own a weapon legally?
You will need to get that expunged from your record before you'd be able to. So it's been a long time. I'm assuming you've been clean since then. And what you would need to do then is go through the legal process, contact an attorney. And there's an attorney that sponsors our show, Stephen T. Pearson. If you want to contact him, I'm sure he would be more than happy to help you understand what the requirements are and what your possibility of getting that done would be. But you'll need to have that expunged because anybody that has a felony on their record is prohibited from owning, possessing, or carrying a firearm anywhere in the country as far as that goes. Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Ed in Dayton. Welcome to the show.
Mark, how are you doing today?
We are doing great.
I just want to say one thing. I know you guys got a little time here. I want to say that young lady did an excellent job. I think she should be commended for what she's doing.
Thanks very much. We absolutely couldn't agree with you more. And if there's somebody else that's on the line that may want to have a comment to say about that, let's talk to Mac Young. Welcome to the show.
Well, good evening, sir. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Well, one of the reasons I called, I wanted to say hi to my granddaughter.
Hi, Grandpa.
And I live in Illinois, and we're very proud of her.
As you should be. As you absolutely should be.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That means the world, Grandpa.
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
Okay. You're doing a great job, and I'm very proud of you.
That was a big surprise, I think. Thanks very much for calling the show.
I just want to just ask you what you would recommend to youth to continue to advance the Second Amendment, shooting sports, whatever you think's appropriate. Let you have a few seconds.
In order to do anything in what you believe, you have to be informed. So you're going to have to search out the information. But what I do know is that if you truly feel compelled to do something about it, there are opportunities out there. You got to go. You got to reach for them and just go as far as you can.
Sitting back and letting somebody else carry the water for you just isn't going to get it done.
It's just not. From what I learned from my scholarship, it takes a lot of go get him kind of attitude. And that's what the scholarship gave me. And I'm so thankful for everything it's taught me.
You know, Mark, God sent us a little angel when he sent us Alyssa, and it was perfect to bring her on the show. And she had a lot of good things to say. Again, to you young people out there, it's all a matter of how hard you're willing to work in order to get to where you want to be. And she's a living testament that hard work, dedication, devotion to your cause will get you where you need to be. And I just want to encourage people to continue along that path, and anything's possible.
For those of you who have heard this show and would like to share this with other folks, come back to our website by the end of the weekend, and the show will be up on our website. You can download it from there and listen to it on an MP3 player. You can subscribe to our podcast. All of the show and the notes from the show and links to all of the things that we've talked about on the show are on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. So we are now at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be headed back over into the news center. Stay tuned for There Is a Season, coming up right after the news on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.